What are we calling? Is this a podcast?
Red. It's
awesome. Clash.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is Reddit Talks Clash. If this is your first time here, we are the mods of the subreddit, and we do a podcast. We record it here live and then distribute it out through everywhere you can find a podcast, basically. Today, I am joined by Sam and Liam. I am, of course, Cool Rick. And yeah, we got a lot to talk about. So the streak event is going on still, right? For another few days?
Yes.
Like, it got extended, right? A few times?
Or yeah, just the ones? I think 2 or 3 days because of the bugs, which is actually pretty nice. So
yeah, that's the real streak. Is they probably broke a streak of like most consecutive maintenance breaks trying to get this event going.
Have you guys had any issues like with the streak event? Because I actually haven't noticed any myself.
I mean, I can't say I've really been paying attention to it, so I'm not sure if I would, like, I haven't noticed anything purely by not even really noticing the event.
The only goofy thing that I've noticed is sometimes I will log in to do like my attack for the day, and then it will just like auto complete for me. Like, it's like I had a cached 3-star from the day before that it's giving me credit for. I noticed a lot of problems in the dev build when we were playing with it before it started. But I just chalked it up to like the dev build being a little buggy, you know. And now I'm thinking like, oh, maybe I should have spoke up.
So basically, this is on you, Vic. Now
you are graciously given access to the dev build, and you won't even let them know when things are broken. I mean, I think this is grounds for removal right here.
Like, I wanted to try and figure out how like resetting worked and how gemming stuff done did. So in the dev build, you can like advance time 24 hours or whatever. So I would advance time and try something and fail it. And I was just goofing around that way. And then it kept, during the course of me like advancing time, it would end the event and I'd have to reset it. And then a bunch of weird stuff was happening. And I figured it was something I broke by playing with it in the dev menu instead of event itself being broke.
Right. Okay. You can get a pass this time. But the accusations of intentional sabotage aren't going to go away.
Like, it's definitely, and then also it was just, I wasn't too interested because it's very clearly not an event for, like, us. The amount extra in the daily league bonus is who cares? 3,000 shiny ore is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's obviously aimed at getting people daily active, like, who aren't already. So, you know, I just figured, it's not for me, I'm not going to worry about it.
I mean, the additional bonus loot you get on every attack if you're farming sneaky goblins is pretty insane over time.
Yeah, but I don't need the loot. I'm doing fine for loot. I haven't even thought about it recently. Like, if you just get in your, unless you're trying to upgrade heroes, and if you're max, if you just sit in legends and do most of your attacks each day, I find I almost never have a problem with loot. So it's not really been a big thing for me.
Do you have all your walls maxed, Sam?
No, but I'm not in, like, a rush to.
I'm still upgrading my Town Hall 14, so I was debating, like, leaving my heroes up just so I'd be able to 3-star for the last couple days of it. And, like, 3,000 shiny I don't think is worth losing basically 3 hero levels and adding a week to my, you know, to my max heroes. But then I also just, like, I really felt like doing a war on that account, too, so I figured I'll just do couple weeks of war, and I normally keep them up for CWL now, which is another thing I've like reversed path on since order, because I remember I used to always say, like, don't like keep your heroes down through CWL.
Your plan doesn't need you, just like shut up if you think you need to put your heroes down, you know.
But like now though, I have like reverse course on that too, because I think it's worth it to keep your heroes down through the month and then bring them up for CWL, because you can double dip wars. So like you might as well just be cleaning up on ore during that week. I don't know. Anyway, that's the streak event.
Woo! I mean, I get it's not really it's not offensive in any way. Like, it's nothing bad about it, so I can't really complain about it, even if it's a bit, you know, a bit lame.
How broken it was, I think, is telling about how things are at Supercell lately too. Like, so many things released just buggy, like way more than normal. Things are being like, even though they have a much larger team, things are still being rushed out and probably too quickly. Like, I don't know what their QA process is, if they even have one. I don't know how many playtesters they have.
I think it's you guys, and you're doing a pretty shit job by the sounds of it.
Yeah, no, like, no one, like, hardly, there are a few people who like really try and break things in the dev build, but like most people aren't there as playtesters. They're just like, most people don't even talk. They just show up, like record some stuff, make their videos, and that's that, which is cool. But yeah, like hopefully they're not relying on us to be, you know, playtesters.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if we'll ever get like an update where there's just no bugs and it's just like perfect, flawless.
Absolutely not. There is no way that'll ever happen.
To be fair, most of the time I feel like when I'm tracking the bugs on Reddit, like it's most of them are already like previous known bugs that still haven't been fixed. And so then it's like tricky to know, like, oh, is this due to the new update or is this still linked to the old previous ones?
And some stuff just takes forever to like emerge too, or like some of the bugs, they like, they're not really a big deal and they're not noticeable, and they add new stuff to the game that just kind of brings it to the forefront. I think overall, I think they just need to slow down and get out some non-buggy junk. But anyway, speaking of releasing things quickly and probably full of bugs, Squad Busters was announced as a global release, and like they're pushing it hard through the game. Everyone probably noticed you get a little purple spinny orb deal on your UI. You can go and pre-register to download Squad Busters, and if enough people do it, they'll give us a skin, I guess. So I mean, go do that, or don't.
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah, go do your part for the greater good.
It was funny how they were calling it pre-ordering though, because I didn't even bother to look, because I actually thought they wanted me to pay to get Squad Busters early or something. So it's like, there's no way you could, like, 4 million people to pay to get everyone a free skin. But then when I saw, like, a million people had signed up, I was like, huh, maybe it is free.
Yeah, oh, it's free. And it, like, I only played the first two little closed betas. One, I think, was only, like, creators only. And then the other one, but I don't know, it's not for me, and it feels like it's a game designed to sell you loot boxes.
Yay.
So it's not for me, but I contributed towards the now 5 million pre-order goal.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like I was considering it, but then after I realized that they were showing it on every single account that I was logging in, because I was doing clan games, so I was like, God, I mean, how many times do we have to see the same thing over and over? And that just really made me not want to participate. And so because of that, I kind of hate it right now.
And also, like, they're obviously going to give us all that stuff anyway, dude. Like,
will they, though? Because they didn't, like, in previous times, like, where we had to, like, work together as a whole team and we didn't reach the milestone, they didn't give us all the rewards. It was like,
but also, like, that's not, like, setting up your brand new, like, the first game they're launching globally in 6 years. They're going to start it off with, like, a failure of just showing, like, oh, hey, a lot fewer people are interested in this than we planned. Like, there's no way they're going to do that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like, all the goals are even still hidden, which is, I assume, why it's, you know, like, it was started off with 1 million pre-orders, and the next tier is, like, 5 mil. And so, who knows if it goes, you know, like, 10, 15, or 5. Like 1, 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5, like, you know, like they can be flexible with it and still give rewards and make it sound like there's a lot of hype for the game.
Yeah, I mean, they could fudge the numbers and no one would ever know, I suppose.
Yeah
I think shareholders would know.
Yeah, like, they went through the hassle of paying someone to design a skin where they are just gonna shelve it and put it in the trash. Like, I don't think so.
It's like, what was that before when we had that event to get some free ore? And they're like, you know, gotta reach this milestone, guys, and you get some free ore, and then we didn't meet it. So then we had to go, oh, well, you can still have a bit.
Here's like a smaller percentage.
Oh, it was the envelopes, wasn't it? It was the envelopes.
Yeah.
That's why, like, Rubble Rumble was, like, just destroy town halls and, like, very clearly designed to get us across the finish line. You gotta assume it's the same thing here. But anyway, if anyone's interested in Squad Busters, go ahead and you pre-order through the game and maybe contribute towards getting us a skin and some other random junk.
So have you guys seen the new mysterious objects that has been popping up in bases? Have you guys got one yet?
I did get my soccer ball decoration.
Is that what it is? A soccer ball?
It's a football, but Rick's American, so...
Soccer is the British term, I will remind you.
Actually, yeah, to be fair, that is true. But then, because we can embrace change effectively, we realized that we were incorrectly terming it compared to the rest of the world. So we changed and you didn't.
You kind of forfeited the word war, as England yeah. is wont to do.
I do enjoy how they called it a mysterious object, though. Like, it wasn't blatantly obvious it's a football. I mean, I'm genuinely not sure what is mysterious about it, but maybe that is to be revealed.
As I understand, there is some European football thing happening.
Yeah,
shortly.
It's called the Euros. Yeah, it starts in June.
Oh, is that like Premier League, or is that like different? Or I really don't know.
Okay, give you a little bit of terminology here. Premier League is the top league in English football. So that is what clubs compete in, like cities like Newcastle or Manchester United. Or okay, and then the Euros is a national competition. It's a bit like the World Cup. It's just for only countries in Europe.
Oh, you guys are just too afraid to fight Brazil every year?
Well, we did it in the World Cup. Every continental football association has their own continental tournament. So, like, South America has one as well. Yeah, Australia has one. The Australasia has one. Asia has one, etc., etc. So this is the European one.
I don't know. Like, maybe it's going to signal some soccer related stuff in the next month.
Yeah,
who knows? It's a mystery.
I don't understand why they've done it now, because the Euros do not start until June. But you know, I'm sure they've got something planned.
Oh, they're trying to get the hype ready. You know, build it up over time.
Well, you know, I guess we'll find out. Like, I still don't like. Normally, by now they will have showed us the like all the skins and stuff for the next month. So creators can start making their content and videos. Maybe that's coming Monday, I guess. I assume. But yeah, I still don't really know what's going on for May or June, or really long term.
Well, even if you did, it's not like you could say much here, could you?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's cool. I get to be surprised, just like you guys.
Did someone not just leak that in the chat here?
And I was about to say, that did jump my memory of seeing a King equipment on the Clash of Clans leak. Subreddits of a football that you could just absolutely smack at defenses. So I think that sounds like it could be related. I think our next event could be potentially related to that.
I don't know. I'm not. I don't know.
It's just a hunch.
The next thing that I did want to discuss with you two cool cats, we have the first qualifiers done under our belts for World. Golden Yay. And silver ticket is now silver tickets now a thing. So Synchronic won the April qualifiers, and Navi got second place, so they have an automatic entry into the Last Chance qualifiers in I don't know, August maybe, I don't know, later on in the summer. But I assume they can still enter the May and June qualifiers as well. Probably not the Chinese one, but
that would be a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
Did you guys watch any of those wars?
Nope.
I mean, I was going to say, I'll be honest, yeah, I don't really pay attention to any of the esports stuff. That's not, like, I don't get the appeal, really. For me, it's all about just progressing and, you know, trying to help my clan, but...
if you were picking it up now, you're still not going to get the appeal. Like, I don't, like, people who have watched it for years, I think, are questioning the appeal of it right now.
I mean, I've been watching it for years, and I completely just haven't even watched any of the tournaments recently, because I watched a few competitive wars and it's just boring.
Weren't you supposed to be the esports person, Sam? Like, you were like the big fan pushing it.
I wasn't, I enjoyed it, and they made the game awful. So I don't do this to torture myself. I used to do it for fun.
I don't know that the game is awful right now. I think the way it's balanced makes for an awful esport. I will clarify. Because I'm having fun. I mean, I'm having fun tripling way too much, way more often than I should. But yeah, just watching it, because it's all about time now, and the time meta is not entertaining at all, at least to me. Just watching the same kind of attacks over and over and over again, just because those are the ones that triple the fastest.
And especially when fails come about, it's not because the attack, the good base building, for example, well-paced traps or etc, etc. Attacks fail because people are trying to rush them and they make mistakes doing it. I mean, they're not failing due to the conventional sense. I imagine most players, you know, pro players, could triple every single base if they were happy to take the full 3 minutes, but they know they can't do that. So fails are literally only coming about because people are rushed.
If it were a different tiebreaker than time, all of these wars would probably be 15-15 wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that, like, that's just it. Like, they're focusing on the wrong thing, and it's like, because they start to focus, like, they lose the main objective, which is to triple. That's why they start failing in a time. But even though it's not a real fail, as you call it, Sam, it's still like, if you lose focus for not, like, tripling on time, then that's still a fail. Like, you should have planned better. Yeah. And just
I just think there's a big issue here, right? Because we know that balance changes between town halls, you know. Town Hall 15 was hard. Town Hall 14 was less hard. And it usually cycles in that way. We have a hard town hall, then we have a less hard town hall. But it's never been this bad. I mean, it's never been the case where people are automatically expected to triple and they are expected to do it in about a minute. I mean, it's never been in this state. I get the casual competitive argument has been a thing for years and years, and it will be a thing for years and years, but there's pushing it too far in one direction, which I think is what we're seeing.
Yeah.
It does make me wonder, actually, like, if you, like, it track the top of Legends, so, like, the highest number of trophies each month, would you be able to see, like, oh, this month, you know, the high score was, like, whatever, 6,000-7,000, so based on that, like, can you see the difficulty level?
Not really, because if you think, okay, people might be doing their attacks really well, but then, on the contrary, that means their defenses are getting absolutely railed as well. So anyone putting up, say, plus 320 days, you can expect they're probably getting minus, you know, 300 or so days as well. I mean, if you can attack really well, so can everyone else around you.
Mm, so then it balances out, yeah.
To a degree.
Like, I'm not too high. I'm 5,700 right now. And, like, I'm not getting 320 days because I goof off a lot, but I'm getting real close to, like, negative 320 days constantly. It's just, yeah. I don't know. It's dumb. It's just, like, when you screw up, like, I'm trying to do a lot of fireball stuff still, so sometimes just bases just aren't, there's not a whole lot of fireball value, so it kind of is just, oh, well. You know, but I'm not trying to push super high either.
Yeah, no, I mean, the main reason that I was thinking about high score trophies is because I don't know if anyone else noticed, but in Clan Capital, I believe we've reached, like, the high score, and now all the clans are kind of going down. So, like, in terms of, I was tracking, like, the most amount of trophies a clan had in Clan Capital, and then I saw, like, from the week to week, it started getting, smaller, basically. So I don't know if we'll ever reach that high again, but you two probably haven't looked at that at all.
Well, I definitely don't look at Clan Capital.
Like, I do all my raids. I'm doing way more raids than I used to, again.
Yeah, the introduction of ore to the shop has made me make sure I do my raids.
I know, like, I had quit doing all my alts, and then now that ore's back in the shop, I'm back to doing 12 accounts through 6 capital hits every week. And it really doesn't take long with miners still, so.
No, it doesn't. And I could, because before I could comfortably two raids, like, I mean, obviously not great for my clan. I did try to do it and I remembered, but, like, if I missed a week of raids, I wouldn't be crying about it because I knew I could still easily just afford to raid medal my CC. But now there's ores, I actually feel like I do need to make sure I do my raids every weekend.
Hey, let's go back to the April qualifiers real quick, because I wrote down all these stats and you're going to hear them.
Got the stats.
Yeah. I wanted equipment stats too, but I couldn't find any, and I definitely didn't want to rewatch all those wars just to tag what equipment was used. And it's a lot of the same equipment. So,
yeah, I didn't think it'd be that. I didn't think you'd be able to read too much into it.
Yeah, there's a guy named Kami Cab on Twitter. I stole a bunch of his stats, but so overall, Root Riders were used in 72% of all the hits. 66% of all hits were specifically Root Rider, Super Barb, and Valk. I didn't go count up how much were Overgrowth or not, but it was kind of a decent split whether or not they were using Overgrowth.
Yeah.
But yeah, like three quarters of all the attacks in the final. So that's 11 wars. But yeah, three quarters of them essentially were Root Riders fan. Like Lalo, everyone used to complain about like how prevalent Lalo was. Lalo never hit, you know, 70% overall.
And Lalo, the reason you saw it a lot, right, was because it's a good attack, right? And it still is. But it's not very fast, so that's why it's not really used now. And also, it was hard to do. I mean, the pros, quote, made it look easy, right? And they had great success with it. But most people trying to pick up a Lalo can't do it effectively. So at least, even if it was a bit repetitive at times, at least you could appreciate the skill in effectively using it, whereas you don't get that with Root Riders.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like whether or not you set up a good funnel with Root Riders and time your spells okay. Like, you don't even have to be good. You have to be good to do it with a much higher speed. But, like, I picked up that same attack and I've been doing it lately too. And it's like, I get 7 of 8 triples a day a lot. And, you know, like, they're not as fast as the pros, but it's an attack that's, like, hard to screw up.
Yeah, I've been testing out actually with Root Rider and Bats. And sometimes I get triples even without CC or like spells in CC, which rarely ever happens because I'm not a pro, clearly.
Outside of Root Riders, the next most common attack was, I'll just say dragons, but that means like regular dragons in Hydra and stuff, and also Electro Drags. Yeah. Those, like any kind of dragon based attack, was 17% of the overall attacks in the finals, and only 8% was Lalo. And that's Zap Lalo and, you know, everything else like Lalo.
Yeah, pretty strong minority then.
The overall, the triple rate was 89%. So like 89% of all those attacks across those 11 wars were triples. 4 of the 11 total wars, because it was 11 because there was a bracket reset. But 4 of those wars went to the time tiebreaker.
Wow.
And there were only 3 total wars where at least one team didn't get 15 stars. So the vast majority, at least one of them, had 15 stars. Okay, if you look back to 2023, last year's World Finals with the Town Hall 15 one, there were 15 total wars in the final. 2 of them, like only 2 times in the World Finals did a team get 15 stars last year.
And they were good wars. I enjoyed the last World Finals.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, they were all solid. And then in 2022, I'll backtrack. In 2023, there were no time tiebreakers at all.
Yeah.
In the finals. In 2022, there were also no time tiebreakers. And that was, it was a big topic too in 2022 about, you know, like thinking that time tiebreakers were a lot more common. We talked about it 2 years ago in our early episodes.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't happening.
It was a thing where people like genuinely thought the Town Hall 14 was too easy. And while that may have had some merits, I mean, it doesn't compare to what we're seeing now.
Yeah. I looked through last year's all the what would they call them, like community qualifier tournaments, like the Queso Cup and Rush Masters or whatever. I looked through all of last year's, no time tiebreakers like the whole year at all. And then like there's less info that I was able to find for the Town Hall 14 championship too, but also not a lot of time tiebreakers.
I mean, you only get time tiebreakers when both teams get a perfect war. And that is just, that was just exceptionally rare in the past. I mean, that basically didn't happen.
So just saying that like 4 of the 11 went to a time tiebreaker this year, it doesn't sound like a ton, but just comparatively, like it's happening a lot more.
That's a lot.
But is that kind of what keeps it like suspenseful? Is that, you know, when you don't have tiebreakers, that's why you're always like excited for every new star, and that's the competitive aspect. That's like, ooh, that's what makes it interesting to watch. Because, you know, if it's all just tiebreakers in 15-15, then it like gets really boring. So that balance is kind of what they're aiming for it to be like last worlds, right?
If this is the genuine balance they're aiming for, that would worry me. I hope they at least see this as an issue. I think they do.
So then they miscalculated something or haven't planned for this. Too easy.
I'd rather see a variety of attacks and then not care about time too, because I know it's not like you said, you know, it's not suspenseful assuming every attack is going to be a triple, and then, you know, wondering like, oh cool, he did it in a minute 35, how is that going to affect the overall average? Then waiting to see the math slowly change over half an hour. That's not suspenseful.
It's not exciting going
me.
Oh look, that player did their attack 3 seconds faster than the player from Team B. Wow, that's going to have a dramatic income on the tie. You know, it's before it used to be, oh my god, they've just one starred. This is massive. They could, you know, X team could get back in it. But now it's, oh, they're tapped in 5 seconds slower. That could be an issue. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's just not exciting, is it?
It's funny to me how much of human psychology is involved in it, because, like, you know, when things are hard, that that makes them worthwhile in a way. So planning for that.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of obvious in a competitive nature. To make things competitive, there should be a challenge, right? It should be difficult to win. And at the moment, it's not. I mean, arguably, it is difficult to win, because obviously there's still only one winner. But when it's based on such a ridiculous variable like time, like Clash of Clans has never been about doing attacks fast. It was only that sneaky goblin thing we had for the anniversary last year was the only time where Clash has ever been about doing an attack fast. I mean, it's just ridiculous, really. I'm not a fan.
I know, like, at least Supercell has said a few times that they're trying to experiment with a few different options. And like, there was that whole Inside the Builder Hut video that we'll talk about too. But part of that, I know he said, like, it's coming at some point. So hopefully just before the World Finals at the end of the year.
I mean, I know on our podcast with him, on our episode with him, he did float the idea of a pro mode that they could explore. So I wonder whether that is in the pipeline. If that's their solution.
Yeah, I mean, even if they do make a pro mode, like, would anyone play it other than the pros? Or would it just
I don't think that's the point, is it? I think that would be their ideal scenario.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, like,
but then, like, would they develop that whole feature just for a really small subset of players? Like, is that worth the development and time and cost?
Like, you know, too, like, if there was, like, an option for spinning wars for regular clans that you could do, you know, normal mode or pro mode, people are going to see it. People are going to look at that as, like, oh, like, we're skilled. We're definitely going to do pro mode. And, you know, we're not going to play we're not going to play with safety pads on. Play the baby.
Like when you go bowling and you have like the things on the sides that keep you.
I think the only issue is like a complete disconnect between how pros play and how casuals play. For example, when a new attack gets popular, we have to watch it. This video goes, sorry guys, this is only gonna work if you're on pro mode because of the balancing. It's like, oh, okay, well I can't do this in Titans. Oh, yeah, like if you can't. Copy the attacks that pros are doing, then or strategies have to be made differently, and or they're not copyable between the modes. I think that would be a bit of a shame, but I don't know how that would be avoided, like, if they do go that route.
That if watching pro matches was me watching things that I couldn't translate to my own play, like I would lose the little interest I do have already. It would be gone.
Have you like had a recent thing that you like, oh, I can use that in my own attack, or have you ever learned anything from it?
Yeah, I watched the April qualifier finals, and I started doing a Root Rider attacks in the same like style. I've been doing Root Rider attacks for months, obviously, same as everyone else, but like a different style. I switched up my equipment too. I saw a lot of use of the healer puppet, and that convinced me to actually finally upgrade my healer puppet on my queen, and I switched to that off the frozen arrow. I don't know, like, for legends, I think I like it better, but certain attacks in war, I'll probably still use a frozen arrow. So, like, I mean, I picked that up from watching, so that was cool.
Yeah, I think people often forget how much the pro scene pushes the meta, because even if you're not realizing it, videos from, say, Itsu will be based on the fact that you know, they've seen this new attack that someone has used in Worlds, or a lot of new strategies are pushed by pros, and if they're no longer providing that function because their attacks just don't work in the main game, which most people are playing, I could see. I mean, I'm sure new attacks would come about, so, you know, obviously they would, but the meta wouldn't be driven in the same way as it is now, which could be a bit of a shame.
Yeah, makes sense.
They will do something, I'm sure. But what that is, and how many people it'll piss off, who knows?
So I didn't want to talk about other stuff from the Inside the Builder Hut video, too. It was Fairy and one of the devs named Vessa, who we've talked about a lot before. If you go back to the episode that we did after Spencer and I got back from Finland, we kept saying, like, oh, there was a guy that we talked to, that we sat down for like 6 hours with and berated with questions constantly for like one really long night and a lot of the next day. That was the guy at Vessa. One of the first things they talked about in the video was changing the rate of progression, because right now it everything goes really, really, like, really fast, and you burn through all these town halls, and then you hit like town hall 12 and things just skyrocket up, and there's this exponential ramp up of upgrade time, and he wants to kind of level that out, which I think would be huge for the game.
Yeah, it's already clear that they are, obviously he wants it in a different way, which is interesting, but they clearly at least have stopped going in the way of every town hall things get longer, right? Because town 16 things did not get longer, so at least they moved away from that. But yeah, it is weird how you can just, like you said, jump to town 12 really quickly and then suddenly you just don't get the same amount of content. So if they do rework that, I mean, that would be massive in terms of how the game is played.
When you say balancing out, like basically that's what they do on every new town hall. It's just like change the upgrade times from before, but that's not changing the exponential period. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because even though I think they aim to keep it around 2 to 3 years to max, I mean, maybe two if you're paying with Gold Pass, three or so if you're free to play. I mean, I think while they try to keep that time frame consistent, the fact is that you'll spend the first year or so, maybe even less, getting to Town 12, and then you spend 2 or 3 years getting to Town 16. So you can do, you know, 12 town halls in half the time you do 4. And I think that's the bit which they want to address.
And to address that, would they just have like a button like, oh, like level up straight to Town Hall 8 or, you know, whatever paid this amount?
I mean, you technically already have that, don't you? You can just rush as high as you want without upgrading anything, apart from building a few buildings. But
yeah, like heroes are a huge part of that, just because like you do need to upgrade them to have a lot of success, and it's so punishing to not have them, and there's so many damn hero levels.
Yeah, I've noticed that on my main, like it's just so many every, like basically 7 days every time, and it's like, God, it's like a whole week.
Or an equipment was originally pitched as a way to like transition hero upgrades, you know, to from what's important, instead of just it being purely the hero level, into, you know, you can spend and invest your time and actual money in a different area and then use that as a way to maybe give us back our heroes while they're upgrading. And that hasn't materialized yet. They're still saying that's the ultimate goal. Like the more time it takes, the more I doubt that's ever going to happen, because I think like what I assume they're finding is that people are still buying hero books and still, you know, still paying to upgrade the hero levels. And in addition to, they're buying ore. So I don't see them replacing hero books with ore and equipment. It's just, here's a second thing to spend money on. As long as people are spending on both, like it's not a replacement.
I mean, I'm not sure if I entirely share the cynicism. I get it, but I think now they've openly addressed the problem, addressed it multiple times, and even gone as far to explicitly say that the problem exists because they want money. I mean, it's not common for a game studio to say anything to that degree. So I think the fact that it's very clearly out there now, even though everyone knew it before, it's now publicly an issue. They should work to address it. But you're right. It must be hard for some of the higher ups to go, yeah, we're going to approve you slashing part of our revenue, unless they can effectively siphon it off to other areas like ores, which hopefully is their plan.
That transparency, I really, really love, like that new direction. And I don't know how much of an influence Fairy had on that, but I really appreciate that. So thank you very much for that, by the way.
You know, cynical is the right word for me, I guess. Like they also talked about, like one of the big questions I see on Reddit all the time is, why does there need to be 3 ores? And they did answer that too. And the way he phrased it was, it, you know, like having different limiting factors is going to push you to the word he said was diversify which equipment you're upgrading and how often. I would say, like, I don't know, it kind of forces you to specialize and you narrow your focus, which is less fun for me. I like being able to change what I'm doing day to day. And I don't know, I think they want you to view that as a positive thing, but I don't know. I don't.
It's a weird objective, isn't it? Because the point of hero equipment was meant to expand, you know, what you could do with your heroes. It was meant to offer you customizability to go, okay, for this attack, I think this equipment will suit it better. A bit like pets, really, in that same aspect. But the difference is, it's quite easy to get all your pets maxed up and then actually have them different and viable for each attack. It's a bit odd that this whole new feature, which was based on the idea of giving you more customizability, they think you should approach as something that you need to focus on singular elements and disregard most of the customizability.
I mean, maybe the customizability is more for once you get to that maxed out point and you have them all, and then you can really switch them out. But that seems like it'll take a long time as well, like maxing out your town hall. So,
like, it's just frustrating too. Like, we've had equipment for 5 months now, coming up, right?
God, like, right, yeah.
We have pretty much all the defenses and offense stuff we're going to get for Town Hall 16. And the Town Hall 16 content that's going to come out is going to be new equipment, it seems. So now I'm in a spot where, like, I don't... I saw a ton of Hog Puppet on the RC, and I haven't touched my Hog Puppet yet. So now I'm questioning, like, do I want to upgrade the Hog Puppet, or do I want to wait and see what the RC epic is going to be, or save all this ore for whatever equipment is coming next? You know, it's hard to decide, and it's, I don't know, like, every time I feel like I'm starting to catch up, there's a new equipment that just kicks that can down the road to being, like, not just maxing all my equipment, but, like, getting to the point where I have the equipment that I feel I need for just two or three different attacks, you know, not everything, but yeah, I feel like I'm pigeonholed into doing certain things and upgrading certain things and not experimenting and having fun. And that's what sucks.
That's actually kind of the reason I didn't want to get any of the epic equipments, because then I just have the basic ones, and then, like, I don't have to worry about, like, once I have them upgraded, then it's all, like, I don't have anything more to do.
I mean, I actually don't get that. I think that is a bit odd. Yeah,
but it's,
like,
it's,
they're not forcing you to spend ores on it,
but it's like, it's a distraction. They're like hey, look at this bright new shiny object, and I'm like, no, like, what's the point of having a bright new shiny object just because it's new and all, when you can actually focus on just maxing all of them, and then you have all the max and you can switch them out, and, you know. But yeah, maybe I think I am a minority there.
That logic is so flawed, I don't even know where to begin.
Well, potato potato, right?
No, that's just wrong.
So he also said they're planning 2 epics per hero, no more commons. And then as soon as they get all those out, then they're going to kind of reassess. So if we're thinking, you know, that kind of gets us through Town Hall 16, assuming 17 comes December with their, you know, new yearly goal. We can get an epic in May, June, July, August, you know, another 4 months. That gives us 2 epics per hero. Then we have, you know, September, October, November, three months to really kind of play with and maybe not introduce stuff right before the finals. Maybe we get some more ore months mixed in there. I'd appreciate that. And then figure out the path forward with Town Hall 17. And if they are going to do, like, a legendary equipment or something, it would make sense to start that with the new Town Hall.
It just seems overwhelming, doesn't it? Especially now they've cut down on the amount of time, on the time frame Town Halls come out in. I mean, I love new content, but my God, I can't even begin to think that we've got a new Town Hall in what, 8 months, possibly?
Yeah, probably December. You know, which would make sense if finals are November, just do the same thing. Like, in, you know, an intro, preview. Are finals confirmed to be
in November, out of interest?
I think so. I don't know. Yeah, like, and that's not, I don't know if it's confirmed or not. I don't know if they are or not. Either way though, too, one of the other things that Vesa talked a lot about with us in person, and that Fairy and who was ever running the you know, the other accounts with him, they've talked about new heroes too. So if they give us a fifth hero, you know, even if they still only let us 4, there's another 4 commons and 2 epics to give us with Town Hall 17, you know. Then that's, you know, that keeps the ore money train flowing, doing it that way. And then you can add a 6th hero, and, you know, like, in that conversation with Vesa too, where we're sitting around the table, he's like, you know what is one of my other favorite games? And he pulled out, it's like Arena Heroes or something. I don't remember the name, but, like, I think we talked about it back on that episode in November, December. But then he was just like, look, this game has 50 heroes, you know, like no one's upgrading all of them to max, you know, and he was saying that like it's a positive thing. So like stuff like that kind of scares me for the future Clash. Like, I don't want endless heroes and to not be able to use all this stuff either.
Yeah, I want it when I see a video come out saying this is the new best strategy in Clash of Clans. I want to be able to go, oh, sick, I've got the stuff, let's give it a go. Not, oh, I didn't prioritize that piece of equipment. Well, I guess I'll give it a try in 3 months and the meta's changed.
Fear of missing out is going to be a big one on that.
Yeah, and it is huge, too, because, you know, like, I can look. If I look in the shop right now, there's 20,000 shiny and 600 glowy and 65 starry packs. You know, I buy a couple of those. There's, you know, I just said I wish I had a max hog puppet and I didn't have to save for whatever's next. And if I want to go spend $40, I can do that.
And it's not even just a case of just feeling like you've missed out in the sense that, oh, I can't have fun with this. It's the sense that you might actually be restricted to attacks which aren't as good, you know, which are out of meta just because you prioritize the wrong thing, which you couldn't have known about because, you know, X new equipment only came out last Tuesday. And how are you supposed to know, save all your ore for that one piece of, you know, I think it would be a shame if they force us into a situation where we feel, where they want us to prioritize and not experiment with lots of different things.
Is that maybe like just a good kind of life training thing? Because in life as well, like you make decisions and then you kind of get stuck down one path and you can't just go back and do it all over again.
Life is boring. Games are meant to be an escape from real life. We shouldn't have to conform to their rules.
Yeah, no. Liam wants every aspect of his life to mirror every other aspect, and it all to be the same, and everything goes in his perfect little neat box.
Yeah, yeah, it requires less cognitive thinking. As you can optimize things, be more efficient. You know, it's perfect. It's like computer everything.
Yeah, just make sure you turn the lights off 3 or 4 times every time you leave a room, and always wash your hands. And
exactly.
I also don't want to have, like, the only things I say be negative about Vessa is brought to the game, because there's a lot of cool stuff, too. He was the guy who basically was, like, behind, like, the event structure, like, when the very first one, the mashup Madness Halloween stuff. Like, he didn't design the actual troops, but, like, the event itself, that was him. Yeah, that was him. And those are good, and those are fun, and that's a really good structure to bring to the game. You know, I think they're having us do it too much, so it's getting a little old and repetitive, but that was solid, and that was him. And one of the other things he brought up in that video is he said his team is the one working on the new recruiting tool, or he might have called it Clan Discovery. You know, it's essentially that. So, I mean, I'm fairly confident they're going to come up with something decent.
Yeah, and I'm buzzing for that. I mean, that's great. Finally, the recruitment tool is going to be fixed, because they really put it off after they removed Global. They really put it off.
A better recruiting tool is something they've been saying for forever. But I don't know,
I remember years ago, like Darian saying, oh, well, you know, we gave it to some third party and it's going to be an absolute pain in the ass, guys, sort out. So don't expect anything from us, eh?
But I don't like hearing him say that, hey, like he personally and his team are the ones working on that. Like, I think it's actually the closest to being true that we've ever, you know, had from those we're working on it statements.
Yeah, it's not we'd like to do it, it's we're working on it, and that's new.
Conversely, you know, the other thing that we've heard a billion times before is that, you know, they're going to get better at communicating. Hey, guys, we're going to do better communicating is the most communicated message that Supercell has ever communicated. Like, they say it all the time, and it never really materializes, but who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's happening.
Maybe the 37th time is the charm.
Amen.
All right, what else you guys want to hit on?
I think they mentioned how with clan chats, and I think it tied in with the recruitment, so they weren't looking to replace Discord, which I think was something we were even talking about in the last podcast. That was interesting to hear how they do recognize the fact that there can be a dual purpose or dual cooperation.
It didn't sound like there's much more coming for clan chat, but there might be a few more little small tweaks. Like, maybe, you know, I would guess maybe some more emojis, maybe like a more official poll function other than just like, hey, give me a thumbs up or thumbs down emoji on it. You know, it's small stuff, but basically clan chat is almost in its final stage.
Yeah, and I think it's fine as it is. I think it would be a bit irritating if it was actually really bloated. I'm glad they recognize that they don't need to compete with Discord. They just need to, you know, add a few niceties on their side.
Yeah, I mean, I really love the modernization of it. It finally feels like we're, you know, getting somewhere with that.
Well, is that everything from the Builder Hut video, or is there anything, any massive announcement we've missed?
No, there's nothing big in there.
Well, Rick, maybe you'd like to tell us about your enlightening coaching experience you had recently.
I've been wanting to do this forever. I heard Carl did it on CTJ podcast a long time ago and talked about his experience with getting a coaching session done. And I've wanted to do it personally just for a long time too. And then after we started our own podcast too, I thought, hey, this would be a good idea to steal and also talk about too. So yeah, I went to Blueprint and I paid to have a 1 hour coaching session. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah, tell us.
What did you learn from it?
What happened? Did you learn anything?
Specific details?
Are you wiser?
No, that's it. No, it was cool. I have an NDA. Yeah. No, I don't. I shot a message to their customer support bot online, and it's like, yo, go to Discord and then open a ticket and just talk about what you want out of your coaching session there. So I did that. I was already in their Discord. And I just said, hey, I am really trying to make my fireball work, and I'm doing pretty decent with it. I just don't know how to approach certain bases, and whether I get a super easy fast triple or I fail and get a one star, I don't always know exactly what I did wrong or what I did right. And I just want to get a lot more consistent with fireball based attacks. I don't really care about time. So whether it's super witches, which are on the slow side, or fireball under root riders, I don't really care. I just want to, I'm just worried about tripling. So they came back with a couple options and said, hey, this guy knows about fireball and this guy knows about fireball, blah, blah, blah. Just choose. We'll try and set up a time, and went from there. And then I got to talk to the guy I got hooked up with was TK. He's done a few videos for him and he has his own channel on YouTube. I'll link it because I think he does good content. Talked a little bit with him about what I wanted to learn. And then, yeah, we set a time for the lesson. It was, start to finish was within a few days. And that was just kind of based on my own availability. And it was cool. It wasn't exactly what I pictured it was going to be going in. But I also think, when I looked back at the conversations I had before it, I think I got exactly what I paid for.
So what, firstly, can I ask how much you paid for it?
It was $34 for an hour. And then, I forget if there's tax involved in it with that or not, but it was $34 for an hour.
How many hours did you do? Just one?
Just one. Yeah, just one. And then you can also you can bring up to five people and split the cost too. So if you want it, and I think different coaches have different prices. So I mean, you can shop around and split the cost between a few people.
Yeah, so you said that it wasn't what you were expecting. So what was the actual format like? How were you taught to be better?
Yeah, so what we did was we got on a Discord voice call. He shared his screen. I joined a clan with him, so I had my tablet up and my computer open, and we just were on a voice call just talking about stuff, and he was taking screenshots of bases I brought and bases he had. Just we talked through planning and how to execute and how to look at bases and how to approach certain things. Making sure you're getting good fireball value, how to force it. He gave me a different comp, which was a little weird, different than what I was using. But we only did one friendly challenge in the whole hour, which is that's the part that kind of was weird to me. I used the comp he gave and a base that I it was one of mine, because he said, you show me the kind of base that you're having problems with, and I dropped a challenge out and we drew on it, and he had me attack it, and I got it down. I would do it again. I think I would, in that little planning stage, I think I would just say, I'm paying for an hour. Let's just do friendly challenges for an hour. And then you tell me what I'm screwing up and what I'm doing right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would have assumed that's how you kind of learn and get better, is just by practicing lots of knots on challenges. But
even though I only did one friendly challenge, the conversation and talking through stuff one-on-one, while we're drawn on the screen, was still really valuable. And I got a lot of good tips, and I think I did, improve with my own attacks out of it. So I definitely got a lot. I don't want to sound negative. It is something I would consider doing again.
Yeah. Maybe it's the sort of thing that the first time you do it, you don't really know, but then as you get more specific and detailed, then you get more and more value out of it. Maybe.
Like, I probably wouldn't do it on the regular, but...
Oh, that yeah.
It would also be really valuable, too, if I was learning a whole new attack. I know, like, TK was saying he's been focusing on like Sui Lalo or Zap Lalo, one of the two, and lately. So, like, those are two things I've never really done. So, like, doing a full hour lesson on something totally new like that, I think would be a lot more valuable than trying to get better at an attack I'm already fairly decent with, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me a bit of a university or school in a way. Like, you teach and learn.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, it's a lot easier to go from, like, 0% knowledge to, like, you know, being 80% there than to go from, you know, 90% to 95%.
Hmm. And then you have an exam at the end.
Yeah, yeah. But it was good. It was a cool experience. So, you know, I know Blueprint has some mixed... people have mixed feelings about Blueprint, and, you know, rightfully so on some points. But, you know, I was happy with the money I spent there.
Yeah, good value. Right. Speaking of base building, Birdbase is back after its long, long absence after being... What was it, a hack or whatever happened there? Yeah, it's returned. Are you guys happy about that? Did you use it much before? Well, I know Rick did, but Liam, were you a big Birdbase fan previously?
I wouldn't say. I'm definitely a fan of, you know, anything that helps improve the experience. I haven't used it. Like, I used it a bit in the beginning, but I didn't really like, because I realized it was like, I'm not that good, so it's not going to have that much value. But I'm sure if you only have one account and you're doing like good attacks, then yeah, it definitely has good value in it. So yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan, but I was really encouraging of the idea. But I'm happy they're back, and because that always sucks when that happens to you. And Rick, you use it regularly, I imagine.
I did up until they like, they had a former, I don't know if employee is the right word, I guess, but from what I understand, some former insider got salty and deleted all their info and backups, and that's why Birdbase kind of went away for a while. But I think they're back. They have a pretty big database, it sounds like. I think I saw the guy send a message saying they had even more videos on file now, which is cool. But I don't think I'm going to return as a paying customer. And that is 100% just because of equipment, too. Like, I don't, like, it was already getting a little less valuable over time because, you know, at Tunnel 15, they introduced spell towers, too. So you would get videos where, you know, like, the spell tower is different. So you can't really, you can drop a Sarge Blimp on top of a Rage Tower, but, like, you can't on a Poison Tower, too. And, you know, there's differences in ground and air expos and multi infernos. It's still useful. It's still cool that you can see traps if you want to, if there's a base match. But with equipment now, too, like, there's just even more that's going to be different in watching those replays and trying to replicate them, where I think, like, each, as Clash gets more complicated, tools like Burnt Base and Find This Base are less valuable over time.
Yeah, I guess you could equally make the argument that it's, yeah, more valuable as attacks get harder and etc. But considering attacks aren't very hard at the moment, like, I don't know whether the market is quite there.
Yeah, like, I haven't found a base at Town Hall 16 where I feel like I really need a video.
Yeah, I wonder how base builders are doing these days. Well, there can't be many people buying bases, knowing they're going to get probably smoked within a day or two.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, we also asked base builders that a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
You were there for that one.
I was there for that one. I know, I'm saying, yeah, I'm just adding my distaste to the current meta. Yeah. I'm just reinforcing my point here.
It does have to be frustrating trying to design bases that, like, just slow down Root Rider spam instead of actually stopping stuff. God.
Watching your work that you've spent maybe days on just get destroyed in, like, 3 minutes is kind of... quite depressing sometimes, I imagine.
Oh, well, conclusion. The meta sucks. Hopefully they fix it. They probably won't.
There's a lot of year left in the year of the home village, so hopefully we get some cool stuff to shake it up.
Yeah.
But how much more can they do other than, you know, like, most of Town Hall 16's here, Town Hall 17. I mean,
fix the troops, nerf them. I don't care what they do, fix it.
They, like, not nerfing Root Riders isn't a solution they want to explore, well, kind of thing.
They should have a look in the mirror and wonder what else they're going to do. I mean, genuinely, if we get to Worlds and all I'm watching is people spam Root Riders and hope they do their attack in 1 minute, I am going to punch something. So if they don't sort out by Worlds, they have a really big problem on their hands.
You have to imagine that's the deadline, too, to have something in place.
Right, but it also needs to be in place before Worlds, because you can't have pros only having done Root Rider spam for the last a year or so, just under, and then...
It was painful just trying to listen to those guys just fill time, too, like, because how many different ways can you talk about the same Root Rider Valk attack?
Yeah, wow, they've already sneaky goblin that gold mine. Well, wow, they got the troops right in. Yeah, that's cool.
Like, if that's what the next three qualifiers are going to be and the last chance, like, just don't even have casters.
Yeah, it really reduces, like, the length of these events as well. I mean, Lex knows, so I used to watch a lot for just, you know, because he'd often upload a pro war every day, right? The videos used to be 30, 40 minutes long. They're now about 20. I mean, genuinely, like, it's at the very least, if you want to put a good spin on it, it's a time-saving measure. I mean, they're getting through these wars a lot quicker.
Yes, good point.
Oh, whatever. I hate it all.
Like, dude, I'm glad I'm not the negative one right now. Like, this is rare for me. Or at least I'm not the most negative one.
I mean, speaking of negatives, can I just add a small frustration I just encountered, actually? Just random.
Yeah, go for it.
Please.
So I just noticed, apparently, maybe this is known, but basically, when you go to Town Hall 8 and you unlock the blacksmiths, you have to wait for the blacksmith to finish building before you can claim your free ore in the trader. And I feel like once you've placed it, you can't cancel it. So, like, you should be able to claim it as soon as you place it. But I think because they've just changed the logic recently, they haven't gotten around to it, but it's still frustrating that I have to wait a day for to claim my free ore. But, yeah.
Yeah, I've got bigger issues in life, I'll be honest.
Small details.
I kind of wonder how that works for regular storages. Like, I know, like, the initial golden elixir storages only take, like, 10 seconds. So you'd have to be really quick to see, like, when, like, does it add that storage capacity, that, like, 1,000 storage capacity when you build a new one right away or when it finishes?
No, I think for gold, it does it when you finish it, but...
Yeah, well, and then, you know, like, if it's consistent with the other storages... I think it's probably fine. Like, the DE storage might be longer.
Yeah, it's like 12 hours, I think.
Yeah, Hawkeye has a question about, do lightning spells still bounce off the blacksmith? And I don't know.
I think they do, yeah.
I mean, we can FC that real quick and find out.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
No, like, we can do some editing magic where we just sound really intelligent. Like yes, in fact, they do, Hawkeye.
Yeah, no, they do. I know they do because I've seen this before. I've tested before, and
yeah,
just now, so I know.
Since the update.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And now we can just edit in the right answer. Yeah, I wonder if the original intent was to have it act like more like a real storage that might have been raidable.
Yeah,
if they did have, you know, it'd be immune from lightning spells. There's no reason for that unless it was protecting like a resource.
My guess is actually it's how it's coded, right? And it's probably they've inherited the class storage for the blacksmith because it acts similarly in most other aspects. That storage class has the attributes, you know, lightning damage off, and therefore, there you go, it's inherited that. It's probably not something they put a ton of thought into, and it just kind of happened.
It's always some dorky coding reason.
Yeah, it's. I guarantee it's because of inheritance. I guarantee they've inherited something that has done that.
That does make me wonder, like, would it have been a cool thing if you could, like, lightning up the blacksmith and then you get that player's ore from that? Like, you could steal people's ore?
Oh, well, that would rework their whole intention of how they intend to distribute ore. So, like, the economy would be so different.
Like, people would have just immediately uninstalled the game for that one. If you're like, oh, nope, like, oh, cool. Like, I spent 4 months saving up starry ore and then, like, I forgot to pop a shield at the right time, and some butthole with just 11 lightning spells all my starry away.
You can buy golden elixir and dark elixir, and that can be looted, so, you know, same logic applies, I suppose. Or not.
All right, I think let's wrap it up. So you guys have any shout outs?
I wanted to shout out Ninja, who hopped in real quick, and Einfish, who I think is not German but Austrian, because he does great capital stuff. So shout out to fellow Capital Clans and Ninja for keep on putting out great content.
Yeah, Ninja's a cool guy. Like, he has a creator code, Ninja. You can use code Ninja. Or if you're not, you know, so much into spending money in the game, if you use his site, go ahead and whitelist him in your ad blocker, and he can get a little revenue through ads because his site is awesome. And only tools would say otherwise.
Yeah, can I just say, like, having that his site for free is amazing. Like, really appreciate that.
I've even now gone and turned off my ad blocker for him.
There you go, Sam, being a cool guy.
I'm literally paying for Ninja's like meal deal tomorrow. I'm so generous.
Does he have like a buy me a beer kind of thing going? I think you can pay to not have ads on the site. I believe you can. I'll just give him 0.001 cents every time I go start a new pet upgrade or whatever. You're welcome, Ninja.
God, we're such generous people, aren't we?
I rotate in Ninja to my creator code usage. I normally go Trample or Ninja most every time.
See, I'm not in the habit of entering creator codes because they reset every, like, what, 2 weeks? I just constantly forget.
Every week, I think, no?
7 days.
Christ, yeah, see, I'm definitely not remembering. I mean, obviously, it's intentional. They do that so they hope you forget, but...
I enter creator codes, but I know it doesn't do anything, even though I do hope that some guy at Supercell is like, ooh, how many codes has this been entered? But yeah, because I'm free to
play, so. You enter codes and don't buy anything.
Well, yeah, because
so
I want
to.
No, because I want to support them, but it's like
that's not supporting them. They get literally nothing.
It's better than not entering anything, I suppose. You know,
yeah,
like,
it's not better. It's just equivalent. Like, but you're putting in effort to do it.
Well, surely someone at Supercell is like, "Ooh, you know, someone's entering Ninja and not buying anything. That means they're supporting Ninja." You know, so
I wonder if they even get that data. It might even only be passed in when you actually use the code when you buy something.
Well, there goes all my hopes and dreams.
Yeah, shout out to TK Games. I'll link his channel in there. He's a guy who coached me through a lot better fireball tactics and just like really just stuff that's gonna be applicable outside of fireballs too. Like I've been really hesitant to use flame flingers in a lot of situations too, just because there's like almost always corner expos or corner mortars and stuff. So it's just, you know, always in my head, like, just don't use flame flingers in those. But I watched him do a lot of replays for me or demonstrate a lot of stuff. And one of the things I noticed that was going on was just like, I had to ask him, like, dude, you're just cool with your flame flinger dying like that? And he goes, oh yeah, it's as long as it sets the funnel, it's fine. And I've been using that to a lot of success too, just not worrying about protecting my flame flinger as much.
I've always worried about that flame flinger being hit by mortars, but
yeah. Any other shout outs before we end it?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Awesome. We will see you guys in about 2 weeks, and hopefully we will have some really cool stuff to kick about and talk about.
Thanks, everyone.
See you guys then.
That was clever. Bye.